Hi, everyone. This is Rico and Tony. We're the Altieri Brothers, and welcome to the Art of Hair podcast. For the last four decades, we have been hair industry leaders as salon owners, celebrity hairstylists, platform artists, educators, and mentors in the awesome world of professional beauty.
Our mission is to inspire and motivate you to become the best hairdresser, the best artist, and the best person that you can be. It's time to reach for the stars, to let ourselves dream, and then turn those dreams into reality.
This is your time right now. So,
let's do this. How's everybody doing out there? This is Tony. I'm with my brother, Ricardo, and we've got a fantastic lineup today. I'm super excited about it. This is Altieri, the Art of Hair podcast, and it's coming your way. Rico, why don't you tell them what's going on?
Well, today we have an awesome show, Tony. We have a gentleman who we know well, and actually everybody in the industry knows him well. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about him, and then we're going to invite him to come in and then start talking. So, he started his career at Revlon when he was 23 years old, moved on from there and became the Eastern sales manager for the company L'Oreal, where he did amazing things. From L'Oreal, he went to and was recruited by Matrix, where he became eventually the national sales manager, had a long career there and did incredibly well for that company. Then from there, he went to another company called Cricut, and then he was one of the sort of the starting founders of an amazing company, which is out right now. He helped establish it. Let's just put it that way. And he's still there. He's the national sales manager. He's a vice president of sales for this most awesome company that we all know right now called Olaplex. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Jeff Schwartz.
Good afternoon, everybody. Before I start talking about a little bit about myself, I go way back with these two guys, Tony and Rico. First time I saw them was in the 80s when they were kind of getting their stuff together. I saw them at a show in Reading, Pennsylvania on probably about a 6 foot high platform stage at a booth where they were just like getting all the attention of the show. All the big companies that had expensive budgets that were on these main stages, they were stealing every one of the audience to come in there to see these guys. And eventually they went to Matrix, where there was a big budget. They were able to hone their craft, hone their act. And I will tell you something right now, being in the business now for 43 years, they changed the way shows were done. I mean, it went from a lot of people used to go to the shows and they were like going to a symphony and not that crazy about it. These guys made it into a rock concert. And the people that came in and the standing room only people and the screaming and the yelling combined with some really, really good hair on stage, I consider it to be one of the highlights of this long career to work with these guys and watch what they did for the industry when it came to shows and education. And I am so glad that they've decided to come back and start again where they left off. I love both of you guys, and thank you for bringing me on here.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeff. Thank you for your kind words. We love you to death as well. And we're going to have a great podcast today because you're a super interesting guy. You've done a lot, and basically, you're still going strong. And so I want to go through some of your past, your present, and your future. And I know Tony wants to start off by asking you a very important question.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that I've walked down many aisles in many big cities over 25 years with Jeff down the IBS, the Midwest show, and all these major. Sometimes it takes an hour and a half to get down 50 yards of an aisle because Jeffrey knows everybody and everyone wants to talk to him. But I don't think a lot of people know exactly, Jeff, where you're from and what was your upbringing like?
Well, I was brought up in New York City. I'm a third generation New York City guy. My grandparents were born in the city. My father was an entrepreneur and a great inventor for women's shoe products. As a matter of fact, he invented the odor eater insole. But unfortunately, he didn't do the right patent or I wouldn't be doing podcasts or working at all now. I'd be working off of the money that he left me instead of having to do that. And what's really funny is that he sold his business in 1963 to Revlon when Charles Revson owned the company. And I remember going down to the Bahamas when I was a kid. And we had lunch on Charles Revson's yacht, which was called the Ultima. And my dad was there. And Charles Revson, what he wanted to do is he bought two companies at the same time. He bought my dad's company to go after Dr. Scholl, who actually as a kid came to our house to try buy my dad out. He was a pharmacist in Chicago. And then he also bought Esquire shoe polish because he wanted to take shoe polish out of the closet and bring it into the bedroom. But he couldn't use the same sort of like strong arm tactics that he did with Revlon, with the lipstick and things like that.
A lot of times in this business, one thing leads to another as we grow. I know you've worked for a huge list of companies. And Ricardo, why don't you break those down and let's talk about each one of them.
Well, like he said, he started at Revlon and then L'Oreal. Just tell us about your time at L'Oreal, Jeff.
Yeah, when I was actually recruited by L'Oreal to go over there. And so they offered me X amount of money. And the thing was that I had just been promoted at Revlon, but it was weird because they offered me one amount of money. And this is a kind of a funny story. And so I was a little apart. And the day I came in to report for my new job, my boss told me, he says, I got bad for you, news for you. Mr. Botner cut your salary by 20% that we offered you. I said, are you kidding me? He goes, no. I said, well, I'm going to go in to talk to him. He says, I wouldn't go in there if I were you. He said, he's in a bad mood. I said, no, I'm in a bad mood. So I walked into his office and I said, Mr. Botner, I said, because I never called him Irving. I called him Mr. Botner. I said, Mr. Botner, I said, you know what? You know, you cut my salary 20%. He goes, listen, he says, you're still green as far as I'm concerned. I'm giving you a shot, but I know your father and your father wouldn't want you making too much too soon. And I said, why don't you call him up and ask him? He goes, no, he says, I'll tell you what I'll do is that I'll give you the money back in 6 months if you prove your worth. So I said, okay, I took it and I went there. And then at that same time, L'Oreal started recruiting me and gave me the money. And so when I resigned, he said to me, and I have to clean it up a little bit. He says, you're going to L'Oreal. He says, I had these great plans for you. I said, what, by cutting my salary? And I said, you must have told everybody but me that you had these great plans for me. He says, are you really serious about going to L'Oreal? And I said, yes, I've already made the agreement. He goes, well, he says, you're nothing but a French whore. And he called up security and they walked me out the door of Revlon.
Nice. Nice. Well,
so then I went over to L'Oreal and I was at L'Oreal and I started out there in the open line, which was Excellence and Preference, which at that time was like huge hair color. They had Excellence and Preference, but then they started an exclusive line. And they thought that I would be good for that. So when I went over the exclusive line, they had some amazing products. They launched Majorelle, which was the first tube color in the United States. And what was really funny is when we went to sell it into the distributors, they said, you guys must be nuts. They said, if you think American hairdressers are ever going to put on hair color with a brush, you're out of your mind. It's never going to work. Mm-hmm. So we had Majorelle. We had Majorblonde, which was the first ever high lift blonding product that is out there. And then we came out with a product that was an amazing styling product that nobody ever heard of. And it was called Mousse.
Really?
And it was called Valence Mousse. And that's where we started. And the numbers skyrocketed. So I stayed at L'Oreal for a number of years and I was doing well. I was working at 575 Fifth Avenue back in the day. And I was doing a sales meeting and there was a gentleman that had just gotten rid of a company called Ardell, which was Arnie Miller. And if those of you that don't know what Ardell meant, that was the first ever single application eyelashes. And Ardell stood for Arnie and Sydell. That's what the company stood for. And Arnie had sold the company and put all his money into this thing called Matrix. And he said, he saw me do a sales meeting and he says, you know what? He says, I like a kid like you. He says, I want you over there. I'm redoing the company, restructuring it. I'm getting rid of some people. And then he hired me to be a Eastern Divisional Manager with Matrix. And then eventually he made me move to Cleveland out of New York, which was like the only reason I like living in Cleveland was because Arnie was there. Once Arnie was there, I used to say a joke. I hope I don't offend the people from Cleveland here, but it said, what's the difference between Cleveland and a cup of yogurt? The yogurt has an active culture. And then I went over to the West Coast to one of my customers, to Wayne Clark, who owned West Coast Beauty Supply, who's the largest single beauty distributor in the 16 Western states. And then he had a division called Cricket. And he was like amazing. He was a great entrepreneur. He brought the round brush to the United States. He brought a product out called Silk Combs, where he had silk fibers infused into combs that went through the hair like butter. When you would cut the hair, he came out with a brand of high-end shears to go up against Hikari that were half the price, that were just as good, called Centrix. So I learned a lot about the sundry business and distribution from him. And like all good things, it kind of came to an end. And then I was doing some consulting work and I was doing some stuff with a couple of appliance companies and some liquid companies that I won't mention on things like that. And then I got a call from a gentleman named Dean Crystal. And Dean Crystal had been in the beauty business a little bit. He had a brand called Liquid, L-I-Q-W-I-D, which I used to tell him, I said, if you had me pushing this brand, you would have done a lot better with it. which didn't do that well. And then he came out with a product called California Smooth, which unfortunately only worked about 50% of the time. But he said, listen, I've been working with these two chemists at UC Santa Barbara, and I'm working with Joe Santi. We're testing this stuff. And this stuff actually literally will go into the hair and repair and restructure the disulfide bonds of the hair. And I said, you have to be kidding me. He said, no. So he said, I would like you to be able to set up distribution for me. I've heard a lot about you and things like that. So this is in 2013. And so I worked for him for 8 months for no pay, nothing. Joe and I were both there for no pay. And my wife was saying to me, when is this guy going to pay you? When is this guy going to pay you? Things like that. I said, you know what, Paula? I have really, really strong feelings about this guy. He's going to make it good. And I set up distribution for him. We launched online in July of 2014. We kicked it off at the Behind the Chair show in August. And all of a sudden, all these distributors came after us. And I set up a meeting with SalonCentric, which was our first distributor, and then Cosmoprof later. And we got a huge PO from them. And when I got that PO, he paid me. And then he kept me on as a consultant. And in January, he said, you know what? You're too good to be an independent consultant. He says, here's some numbers I'm going to throw at you, which were great. And he said, I want you to be a full-time employee and become our senior executive VP of sales and distribution. And the rest is pretty much history.
That's awesome. That's a great story. But I also want to ask you this. I was thinking, you know, right now, most of the hairdressers in the industry are looking at Olaplex and they're just thinking, it's like huge. It's what one of the most successful products in the last couple years, and they're just going over the top. But like anything, like any product, there was a time when things were tough for Olaplex. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, I mean, honestly, things were never really tough for Olaplex. I mean, we started off and it was like a rocket ship. It was incredible. The only time that things were tough is that when all of a sudden, and to be honest with you, once we started, we got all of these hair color companies, who I won't mention, contacted us and said, you know what, we really like to license this product for our hair color and our lighteners. And Dean politely said, no, we just have our own path that we want to go. And then, you know, after that, soon after that, all of a sudden, these people are telling that they're users saying, oh, Olaplex is not compatible with our color brand. It's not compatible with our bleach. It's not compatible with anything. And so Joe Santi and I used to call it the we couldn't come up with it, so it can't be great club and things like that. But Olaplex is like type O blood. It's a universal donor. It works with every single color brand and things like that. And then, of course, they started coming out with their own versions of it. And it's really funny because they thought Plex actually meant something. So there were companies that came out with this Plex, that Plex, the other Plex, the other Plex. And so I used to say, I said, you know what? They should have just called their brand Perplexed because they couldn't figure out what we were doing. And of course, you know, it was just one of those things. And they just came out with all these knockoffs. And that was tough when they would come after us on social media saying, you can't do this with it, you can't do that with it, and things like that. And of course, one company that we kind of like had an agreement with in a way to possibly share some ideas and things like that violated the patent. And then Dean sued them. And they thought that because they were a huge company, they thought that they were going to drag him through the mill and make him spend all his money. Well, Dean said, I am not going down easily with this stuff at all. I'm not going down at all. I'm going to take them down. And after three years of somewhere of lawsuits going back and forth, we won. And not only did they have to pull all of their product off the shelves in the United States and in the UK, but they also had to pay Dean a huge judgment as well as reimburse him for the legal expenses.
Well, it shows you that patience and perseverance always comes through, right, Jeff? And you know, the thing is about Olaplex, it's an amazing line.
That used to be dealing with the
Altieris. Yeah, exactly. First of all, what do you think the keys are to Olaplex's success? Why is it so successful?
Well, the key is because the chemistry. I mean, we've got, I think, 80 worldwide patents.
Wow.
And nothing out there can penetrate the hair and do repair the disulfide bonds of the hair. What I compare Olaplex and all the knockoffs to is that a couple of years ago, I used to play basketball. Again, not as good as the Altieri brothers, because honestly, I played some 3-on-3 games with them. Oh, these guys were pretty tough. I mean, they could have been in the Rucker tournament up in Harlem and held their own without a doubt. They were pretty tough players. And Ricardo had some pretty sharp elbows, by the way. So anyway, what it is that my ACLs went. So I was getting cortisone shots. And they were doing okay. But after a couple of weeks, my knees would be back to where they were before. So when I was getting my ACLs replaced, I was thinking about it. And I said, you know what? Olaplex is reconstructive surgery for the hair. It goes into the hair. It repairs it permanently. everybody else out there that came out with a knockoff is like getting a cortisone shot. It's temporary relief. You don't repair the damage. And when it does come back, it's usually worse than it was before.
You were telling me something about the social media that you guys have right now. Why don't you go into that? Because you were telling me some numbers that blew my mind.
Well, Olaplex started out with social media. We started out by Dean. Actually, the first person that really was pushing Olaplex was Tracy Cunningham, who has the Mesh Salon in Beverly Hills with a huge clientele. I mean, J-Lo, Charlize Theron, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jennifer Garner, all these celebrities and things like that, plus the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. So when Tracy started doing things on social media, and then Dean knew that social media was for us, you know, we were being chased after to pay advertising by all of the trade magazines and things like that. Dean and I both felt that when you pay money for a trade magazine, I mean, people look at it for 15 seconds, you're paying $15,000, $20,000 for a one-page ad in a thing, and somebody looks at it for 15 seconds, they never see it again. So social media was really, with the followers that we had and the celebrity hairdressers we had, was that made it. To make a long story short, one time, Kim Kardashian had gone to somebody else that had bleached her hair out, totally fried her hair. So she went back to Tracy, got her hair fixed, and a friend of mine was at a seminar she was doing in Pasadena for makeup. And somebody said, "Hey, Kim, you know, your hair was really burned. You know, it looks so good right now. What happened?" She goes, "I used Olaplex to repair my hair, and my hairdresser used Olaplex to repair my hair." In less than 5 minutes, we had 26,000 likes on our website. 25,000 likes.
Wow.
When you look at hashtag Olaplex on Instagram yesterday, there were 17 million posts on hashtag wow. Olaplex. On our professional only site, Olaplex users on Facebook, we have 176,000 members.
Wow. Yeah. What do you guys do?
Well,
what do you
do to
make it happen?
We do online education for people. We'll mm-hmm. have taped education on there and people will watch the education. We have YouTube things. We have Instagram stories. We have Instagram takeovers. We were doing online education before anybody else. And of course, this was pre-COVID. You know, Dean always felt that wasted money was like doing like in-salon live classes because you were spending a lot of money and things like that. So we started doing online education only. We had at one time when we were like up, when we were really, really growing, we only had 9 paid employees in the company.
That's so great. Yeah, stay lean and mean. That's the way everything's going right now. I was talking to you yesterday and I don't even think companies need offices anymore. I mean, everything has changed. The whole game has changed.
Yeah, well, we've never had an office.
With all that social media, you don't
have to have an office.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need one. You couldn't have one, but now you don't need one.
And Dean's the type of person anyway. If he had an office, he'd be like a caged animal. I mean, he wouldn't last like 5 minutes in an office.
Yeah, I don't know, Dean. Tell me about him.
Because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, God, I really don't know this too well because I'm not too familiar with this particular brand. Before you get into Dean, what does Olaplex mean? What is the word Olaplex?
It really doesn't mean anything. I mean, originally the name was supposed to be Olatherapy. Uh-huh. And we had all these names that we were going back and forth. And, you know, and it's really funny. When we came up with the name Olaplex, there's a person that's a PR person that's well known. And I'm not going to embarrass that person, stuff like that, that was doing some work with us. And they said to Dean, you know what? If you call this company Olaplex, you are going to crash and burn. It's the stupidest name I ever heard of in my life. And my feeling about names is that, you know what? If the product works, it's the greatest name in the world. If the product doesn't work, it's the stupidest name in the world.
I never knew what an Olaplex was or what it meant or nothing, but I've always looked up to that name going, damn, that's something's fan. It could mean everything in the world or it could mean nothing, but you know what?
It was the same thing. Ricardo was telling me yesterday about the simplicity of the packaging. And we did that because that's what we had to work with. And we wanted to make it as Spartan and as simple as possible. And it turned out to be like an amazing, amazing package.
Oh, yeah. I think that's part of the genius of the line is the packaging is just, it's so unique. Like it makes everything, it looks like a scientist made it. You know what I'm saying? Or it looks like it was handmade. And that's what I think.
Well, it kind of was.
Was it?
I mean, he poured it into like 2 plastic bottles with packing tape and handwritten instructions.
Do you think one of the main reasons that it made it was because of Joe Santi?
Well, Joe is the guy actually, because when Olaplex was created, Dean created it with the guys because it was originally meant to be used with permanent waves. Because, you know, when you break the bonds doing a permanent wave, you need that repair. So what happened was, is Joe was doing the test for it and he was thinking to himself, he says, you know what, bonds are bonds. And so he started putting it into lightener and he started, you know, in different amounts, and he started putting it into hair color and then using it as a treatment. And Dean called, you know, and Joe called Dean and the chemists, and he said, do you realize what this stuff does when you put it into hair color and bleach? And they said, no, it's impossible. It can't do that. They were going back and forth. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. No, it can't. Yes, it can. And the head guy, that really was the guy at UCSB that was doing it, after all was said and done, he sent a letter to Joe and he said, you know what? You've taught me a lesson. As well as I know my science and I know chemistry and things like that, I am never going to dismiss somebody else's opinion out without seeing it first myself. And he apologized to him. And Joe has that letter framed actually in his office.
Does he? And for the listeners, if you don't know Joe Santi, we're definitely going to be inviting him on the show. He's an amazing hairdresser. We know him quite well. And if you're talking about bonds, disulfide bonds, there probably isn't one person in the world who is better at knowing that subject, don't you think?
Joe is probably the best texture guy minimally in the United States and possibly in the world. Nobody knew permanent waves and texture and chemistry of hair better than him. The other guy that I think is really like up there with him too is a guy that I've been friends with for a long time that you should think about putting on here too is Tom Dispenza.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tom Dispenza is amazing. I love Tom. Hey, guys, this is Ricardo. I just wanted to get in here for a second and tell you about a product line that Tony and I have developed just for you. It's a line for professional hair artists that are looking for every advantage to take their work to the next level. The line is called The Art of Hair, and it is a line of professional hair care products to use in the salon behind the chair that will help you create the best results you have ever seen. The way these products perform is truly incredible. It's all due to a very few things. First is our refusal to put our name on anything that is not the best in the industry. And next, we use the highest quality ingredients that's containing a botanical blend of antioxidants that will strengthen and hydrate while creating the healthiest hair on earth. The Art of Hair products are the most innovative, cutting-edge, performance-driven products to hit the market ever. Let's take your salon game to the next level. Go to Altieri, theartofhair.com. Your clients will love you.
So anyway,
So Dean, tell us about Dean.
It's really funny. When I was like 20, 23 years old and I was working for Revlon, I was single at the time. And so there was a guy that got sick in the Midwest, and they sent me out to take his territory for a month until he got out of the hospital. So I was living like in Akron, Ohio. And so there was a distributorship down there called Payless Beauty Supply. And it was owned by a guy named Jeff Crystal, who eventually sold the business to Sally's at that time. And he had an 11-year-old son named Dean, who ended up serendipitously that we ended up working together. But Jeff had a great distributorship. He made a lot of money. And then Dean's brother, Don, decided to get into the business, and he started a company, a revolutionary company called California Tan. And with California Tan, I mean, 25 years ago, they were selling moisturizers and tanning stuff for $100 a bottle. It was unbelievable.
So he sold
California Tan, and he decided to get more into the hair care version of it, and he started a company called Alterna. And then Dean more or less broke into the UCSB laboratories, and he had a conversation with the two top professors there and chemists there. Matter of fact, Craig Hawker, who was the chemist there that really did the Olaplex formula, is linked to Nobel Prizes. He's one of the great best chemists in the world and things like that. And in Craig's garage, and you can see this on the app, they came up in a matter of weeks with the Olaplex formula. And the rest is history.
Okay, but wait, was it Dean's idea?
How did he come up with that?
Like
a concept that he wanted to do for hair. Mm-hmm. And then Craig and the other chemist said, you know what? I think we can figure this out. And that's when it happened.
Fantastic.
But Dean was the guy that started the whole thing. I mean, Craig and the other chemist had no hair background at all. It was all Dean that brought that in there.
Okay, Jeffrey, let me ask you a question real quick. What do you think the future of Olaplex is?
Well, the future is huge. I mean, Dean sold the company in January of 2020 in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, the company that we sold it to is a private equity firm. They have a multi-billion-dollar portfolio. They own, I think, 50% of Lululemon. They own part of Douglas. That's the sort of the Sephora of Europe. And they've taken us into channels that we just didn't get into before. But they've kept the same Olaplex philosophy. I mean, we had a lot of people that say to you, why don't you come out? Because the secret sauce to Olaplex is a additive called bisaminopropyl diglycol dimaleate, which is the secret sauce, which is the patented ingredient in there. Mm-hmm. Everything that we have in the brand has this product in there. You know, a lot of people say, well, why don't you come out with a hairspray? Why don't you come out with this? Why don't you come out with that? Both Dean and I and Joe both said that if we can't come out with a product that addresses damage the way we address damage and doesn't have the secret sauce in it, we're going to pass. We did not want to put the name of Olaplex on like a hairspray that was really no different than any other hairspray, better or worse than any other hairspray, and have the Olaplex name on it and then use the Olaplex name as a springboard and not have it perform. So Olaplex probably does more business with 10 SKUs than most people companies do with 100 SKUs. We decided to go into Sephora in January of 2018. We started actually in December of 2017 to go into Sephora in a very, very short period of time. As big as Sephora is, Olaplex is the number one brand at Sephora. That's with everything.
That's amazing.
We probably turn down 20 to 25 opportunities of Olaplex a week.
No, for sure. No doubt about it. I mean, you know, what a story that product's got. I'm really glad to be a part of it. I know you've been a family. You've been in this business for 45 years. You're a family man. You got two beautiful daughters. You got a beautiful wife. Is Paula around you?
She's actually having lunch. She's going back to the salon because when the California salons opened, as soon as Newsom pushed the button, Paula's phone exploded.
Trust me, if this thing wasn't booked, I'd be in the salon myself right now. But you're more important, Jeffrey. I got to be honest with you.
Well, at least for an hour.
That's all I can take anyway. Once again, from Ricardo,
I knew a lot of people that were important to you for about 15 minutes, by the way.
Talk about Paula, because she's a hairdresser.
I met my wife. I was working for L'Oreal, and there was a show going on in Asheville, North Carolina, at the Great Smoky Mountains Hilton for State and Columbia Beauty Supply. So I went down there and I needed a haircut, and they introduced me to this beautiful woman that was my platform artist. She cut my hair. I was like gaga about her. We went to Denny's for lunch after the show. We exchanged phone numbers. I went back to New York. She had a salon in Greenville, South Carolina. And we exchanged phone numbers. We went to a couple of more shows. And the bottom line is, 90 days later, we were married, and we've been married for 35 years.
Wow.
You know that you didn't run that by me. When you decided to get married, you should have run it. Why didn't you run it by me?
Because then I wouldn't have gotten married.
Hey, you know, I saw you sent me a picture of your kids. I can't believe how good looking they are. What?
Yeah, I always say they kind of look like Paul and.
Yeah, exactly. What was your favorite and what was your most passionate time in the business in all of those in half a century?
Everything really has to be linked to Arnie Miller. So when I went to work for Arnie, it reminded me of playing basketball for Bobby Knight.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, you know what? They were very similar, weren't
they? They threw their same amount of chairs as well.
Exactly. We love the guy. He was amazing. He was hard to work for because he was a perfectionist. And I know you feel the same way. I know you loved him and he loved you too.
Oh, my God.
I got to tell you, Jeff, you are one of the guys that I've loved working with the most throughout my career. And you're probably the most popular person in the whole beauty industry, truthfully. For all the new hairdressers that are wondering who Arnie Miller is, he was the innovator and the brainstorm behind Matrix. And probably, I always tell people, he's probably the second most influential hairdresser that's ever been alive behind Vidal Sassoon. And not everybody knows his name like Sassoon's, but he's that important to the industry. What are your keys to success?
I think my keys to success were succeeding, working hard, failing, and pulling myself back out of and not letting failure take its toll on me. Because we've all been there. As a great fighter used to say, or Rocky Balboa used to say, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up.
I agree with you. That's awesome. I think that's a great place to end this thing. Jeff, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put everything in the show notes, all the different ways that people can get in touch with you if they want to, your social media and so forth. And I know that you're going to probably ride off into the sunset with Olaplex. Is that correct?
This is my last stop. I have all intentions at the end of 2023, when I turn 70, to hang up my gloves. And I am going to travel with my wife and enjoy the rest of my ride.
Awesome. Well, you've done great. I'm proud of you, Jeff.
Once again, real quick, Jeffrey, say hi to your wife and your kids from Ricardo and myself. I love you. Thank you for all the years of being Ricardo's and mine friend.
And you know what? We'll be friends forever.
For sure.
Mr. Jeff Schwartz, the man of many faces in the beauty business. God love him. And I'm so honored to have him on Al Cherry, the Art of Hair podcast. What a day.
You got it. Thanks, all Jeff. Right.
Jeffrey, all right, love guys. Thank you for tuning in to the Art of Hair podcast with the Al Cherry brothers. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For full show notes, full transcripts, and resources to help you become the best, visit us at
AlCherryTheArtOfHair.com, and you can also find us on Instagram at AlCherryTheArtOfHair.